Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis, on the very last line. V'Hashem and Shalem. So what about their oils? Oil produced by a goy. In the Mishnah we list it as one of those items which are osur. One may not consume shemen of a goy, but it is not osur to have benefit from it. There's no isur hanoah. Now, actually, in the Mishnah we have a line which says, Rebbe ubeis dinoi. So in the later generations, Rebbe and his bezin, actually, hitiru hashemen, they rescinded, they canceled the isur on shemen. So shemen is no longer osur. And Rashi in the Mishnah actually says we don't have that line in the Mishnah, like our Siren, because the person who was matur the shemen, we're going to see in the Gemara, his name was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he was not the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the Tana, rather he was a Rabbi Yehuda Anasi later on in the Gemara, one of the Amoraim, so it could not have been included in the Mishnah, which was recorded years before. In any case, as we're going to see today, in fact, it was rescinded, it was permitted later on through Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and his Bezdin, but what was the historical, step by step that occurred from the time they enacted the gezeira? Why did they enact it? What was the reason for it, and how that whole story developed into the ultimate heter? Okay, so we have a machlekes. V'Hashemen Shelehem, Shemen. What's the reason for the Isra of Shemen, and in fact, who? Who was the one who established the initial Isra? Shemen, Rav Omar Daniel. Daniel, he was the one who established the Isra. Daniel Gazer Olav, and as we're going to see later in the Gemara, it's because of Chasnus, very similar to the Isra of Pas, Akum, Bishul Akum. There's a concern that, these types of staple items, staple foods, if one would share them with a goy, or share the goy's items in this manner, it would engender closeness, foster personal connection, and perhaps even lead to chas v'shalom intermarriage. So according to Rav, it was established way back when, the old days, by Daniel Gazer Olav. Ushmuel Amar, he says, no, it was established much later on, in the times of Shammai v'Hil, Tamidim of Hillel v'Shammai, and it was based on a very, very simple practical issue. Isra of kashrus, because the oil that was contained in non-kosher containers in the hands of the goy perhaps absorbed some residue coming from the walls of those containers which had contained non-kosher food. So it's a simple kashrus issue, the fuss on the extraction, the dripping, so to speak, of the shel kelim tmeim of the containers which are tamei oisras, and that affects the oil, the content. Ask the Gemara, hold it. Why are we concerned about tumah here? Atu kuli alma oichle taharas ninu? Is that so that everybody, all yidden are meticulous about eating their food strictly bitahara? A kohen has got to be careful not to become tummy, etc. But a regular person? So you're concerned about it becoming tummy? Why would that be sufficient reason to establish this gzera, this ban, on all Gaisha oils? Ella, rather, when we said tmeim, tmeim sometimes refers to non-kosher. Ella's lifasin shal kelim asurin isruasim, concerned about the residue of those non-kosher containers affecting the getting mixed into the oil and affecting it. So Rav holds that Daniel, in the old days, established the Isser, whereas according to Shmuel, it was a more current Isser due to non-kosher, possible non-kosher component mixed in. Amar Shmuel Rav. So Shmuel turns to Rav. Bishleimu l'didi. It all works out according to my opinion, that I say, Damina, Zlifasan shal kelim, Asur nisrasan, it's the non-kosher residue that taints the oil. So that would explain why they rescinded this gzeira, this isser, in later generations. So, as Tosis explains, even Shmuel agrees that there's an element of chasnus concern, that this can lead to closeness and social interaction, which can lead to, you know, further, it can lead to intermarriage. But he holds that it's sort of a combined entity. Both factors together formed the basis. Each one on its own wouldn't suffice. It was both together that generated this serious concern about their oils, the marriage aspect and the simple kashrus aspect. And that would explain, says Shmuel, that later on they rescinded it. Because since they discounted the kashrus aspect, because we're speaking about, you know, spoiled, you know, flavor coming from the walls, that's called noisen tam, it imparts a flavor, but it's lefgam, it's spoiled, it's not enhancing the food. So they discounted that concern, so they canceled the whole thing. So Bishleim Melididi works well according to me. I mean, I say Slifasan shall kale my asur neisros. Not the concern is the kashrus aspect. Hainu, that would explain the chiyasur of Yitzchak. Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, when he came, va'amar, he said, Rabbi Isai, I'll tell you a story. Dorish Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi got up and declared in the town of Benetzivim, you should know that the Isra of Shemen was cancelled. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi ubeis dina nimnu alav v'yituroi. Rabbi Hanasi and his court took a vote and concluded to do away with the whole Isser. Why? Because he held Noisen Tam Lefgam is Mutar. Although there may be some possible non-kosher residue, but it was old, spoiled. It would be to the detriment, so to speak, of its content, of the oil content, if that residue gets mixed in. So it's not adding, it's not enhancing. And therefore, it's mutter. So that explains why they rescinded the Israel de Dach. But according to you, Rav, who says the Amris, Daniel Gazer Alav. Well, if Daniel did it because of marriage concerns, so then how could we go ahead and rescind that? Daniel Gazer, if Daniel established the Isser, how is Rabbi Danasi going to go do away with it? V'asa Rabbi Danasi, Mavatale, how could Rabbi Danasi come and cancel it? You need to be part of a bezin of a greater stature, of a higher level than that initial bezin that established the takana, in order to override, to overturn that ruling. A later court cannot override, overturn a ruling issued by a previous court, unless he is considered greater than the previous court in terms of wisdom, in terms of the number of students involved in the second court, which gives them the added, the ability to analyze better, deal with the issue. Elam kein gadol himenu, unless the second court is greater than the first court, b'chachma, with wisdom, b'minyan, with the numbers. So according to me, the bezin of Rabbi Danasi apparently was, of that stature vis-a-vis those who established the takana. But in your case, Daniel was much greater than anybody in the later generations. So how could Rabbi Simloi tell us that it was canceled? Amalei, so Rab responded sort of dismissively. He said, Simloi, you're quoting Simloi from Lud? He came from the town of Lud. Simloi Luda? Ka'anus? You're relating to Simloi from Lud? There's no credibility there. Shani Luda? Yeah, those people from Lud. They're known. The Mezazel, they're known to do away and to negate. Disregard. Rashi says, Mezazel, but me did the Rabbanon. They don't take the words of the Rabbanon seriously. I don't believe that it was in fact rescinded. Omer Leser Shmuel said, Eshlach Leish, should I send them your words? Should I tell them what you said about him? Ichsiv. So Rav was sort of felt uncomfortable because he expressed himself this way, dismissing Rabbi Simloi. But in any case, he held that it could not have been rescinded since it was established by Daniel. In fact, Amar Rav, Imhem Lo Dorshu, just because Rabbi Danasi and his bezin, so basically, a fact was a fact. It was rescinded, but he felt that it wasn't substantiated. It wasn't correct that they rescinded it. In fact, he says, "Im him le'dorshu, anan le'dashina," just because they, meaning Rabbi Anasi's team, didn't discover this. In the words of the Pasuk, that in fact it was established by Daniel, and they held it was only, based on kashrus concerns, and that's why they canceled it because of the reason we mentioned before. They didn't realize that in fact it was established for a different reason altogether, because of a serious interaction chasnus concern, which doesn't justify any cancellation in later times. Imhem le'darshu anan le'dashin, just because they didn't expound on the psukim, does that mean we shouldn't either? Look, there's a clear pasuk. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, "Vayosam Daniel, aliboy." So he committed to this practice. Asher lo yizgoil v'pas baga melech, he wouldn't partake in the king's food. Ubiyayin mishtoyoy, nor in his wine and his drinks. Now, mishtoyoy can be learned plural. Mishtav. It can be learned plural. Right? Mishtav, the drinks. Which two drinks, which two liquids did he keep away from? Mishtei mishtoy. The pasuk is referring to two liquids. Echad mishtei yayin, echad mishtei shemen. One is partaking in the king's wine, and one is in his oil. Clearly, he established a ban on these things. So in fact, Rav understood this pasuk to mean that alibay sam ulchol Yisrael hayra. It wasn't a personal, private commitment just for himself, Daniel, right? Alibay sam, he placed it on his heart, so to speak, meaning he personally committed to it, and he also established it for everybody. Ulchol Yisrael hayra. He ruled it as a practice for everybody. Ushmol savar, Shmol disagreed. Shmol held alibay sam. True. It's clear that Daniel himself practiced this. Yes, sir. Ulchol Yisrael Yehara, but he did not impose it on the rest of the nation. Rather, it only came later on, in the times of Hillel v'Shammai, and the reason was, like we said, was based on chasnus, in combination with the reason of the kashrus concerns, and since later on it was discovered that the kashrus concern was not an issue, so the whole thing was rescinded. Asks the Gemara of Hashemen. So this is a ban on the oil. Daniel Gozer was established by Daniel of Amar Bali. Amar Avim Utah, that was his name. Mishmei, he quotes Rav himself. Mishmei the Rav. No, Pitan Vishamnan. The Isser imposed on their breads, on their oils, Yena on their wines, and they say in their daughters, Kula Mishmoina Asr Dovarhein. They were enacted as part of the 18 Gzeres, 18 items, which were voted upon and established by the Talmidim of Hillel v'Shammai, as discussed in the first parak of Maseches Shabbos. They went up to this apartment, this Aliyah, upstairs apartment of Hananya over there, and they, established 18 gzeiros. These were amongst them. Apparently, it was a much later gzeira. Rather, then from the time of Daniel, says the Gemara of Chitema, perhaps we'll say both are true. Also, Daniel Gozer, although Daniel did attempt to establish this as an Isser, v'leikibel, but the Gzeira was not accepted. It did not. It didn't fly. Also, Talmid Hillel v'Shammai v'Gozer. Perhaps later on, in the times of Hillel v'Shammai, it was v'Gozer v'leikibel. They established it and was. It did take root. If that's the case, Imkain, my asadu said the Rav. So what's Rav's testimony that Shemen came from the time of Daniel? If it wasn't established, it didn't fly then that's not a gzera. It means it was established only later, not earlier. Why was Rav referring to Daniel if it wasn't really successful at that time? Says the Mu'ella, rather, the correct sequence of events were as follows. Daniel Gazer all of beer. Although Daniel did make Gzeira. He did ban the oil. But it was only beer in town where you live for concern about personal interaction and intermarriage. Came the later generations, Hillel v'Shammai's Talmidim, they came and they broadened that, the scope of the Isser. Not only in town where there's that, you know, close-knit feeling, even on the road. In a non-residential setting, you still cannot share Shemen of a Goy, despite, you know, the lack of intimate setting, but it can lead to more, so. So although it was initiated by Daniel, but it was firmly established in greater scope by Talmid Hillel v'Shammai. But ultimately, as we learned, it was rescinded by Rav Yehuda HaNasi and his best. Here comes the question. But how could he? Even if we'll say that it was really only established by Talmid Hillel v'Shammai, and there's a kasha on both, on Rav and Shmuel, how could Rav Yehuda HaNasi's Bezdin retract it? Rav Yehuda HaNasi, hechi matzi l'mishut hakanto. How could he go and undo a takano? But the Talmid Shammai v'Hillel v'Atznami, we have that Mishnah, ein Bezdin yochel levatel divrei Bezdin chaveroi. One court cannot override the words of a different court. Elim kein gadol heimenu b'chachma b'nei. Unless he's deemed greater and of higher status. Furthermore, specifically, a gzera of Talmid Hillel v'Shammai, that couldn't be touched regardless. Void. Furthermore, Amar Rabba, by Rachan, Amar Beichan, b'koil yochel levatel, regarding any type of ruling, a bezdin can be mevatel the earlier divrei, the words of the earlier bezdin, bezdin chaveru, if in fact he's deemed greater in stature, etc. But there are exceptions. Chutz mishmoina sadavar, except for these 18 takanais referred to earlier, established by Talmid Hillel v'Shammai. Amongst them we have the oil. Why? Why are these considered critical? Shafilu yovei el yovei zdino. Listen to this, even Vel Yonav shows up with his bezdin, the greatest of the great. Ein shemile, we don't accept his words. Why? Says Tesis, because they were meisei nefesh. They stuck a sword down. They said, this is serious business. We're going to get to the bottom of these issues. And they didn't let the Talmidim of, since they were going to vote based on numbers, they actually, the Rishalmi says, they threatened by sword. Any Talmidim further Talmidim of Beis Hillel, they even attempt to come up, they're going to, because they didn't want to be outnumbered by the Talmidim of Beis Hillel, who are typically more lenient. You know, throughout Shas, you find Hillel is usually Mekel and Beis Shammai is usually Machmir. So they wanted to keep it as such so that they can conclude, you know, the way they did. So basically, it was, they took it really seriously. They sacrificed over Meisei Nefesh to establish those very, critical gzeiros to ensure protection of the Mesira and integrity of the various halachis. It was very serious experience, and they were Meisei Nefesh for it, so that stays. You can't tinker with that. You can't touch it. It's untouchable. So how could they, cancel this type of Isser? Answers the Gemara, you know what? This is different. Oil is different, because it was unsuccessful. It was deemed unsuccessful. Amar Mishar Shia Ma Tam, why can't you interfere with those takanis? Hoyle Pashat Isuram Beroy Yisrael. Since those gzeros, those Isurim were accepted when they were disseminated by the Chachamim, it was accepted by most of the community. So, yeah, if they abide by it, it becomes an established takana and you can't. The takana of oil, for some reason, just didn't take off. It was not accepted. It wasn't practiced. Le'pashat isurei b'Rav Yisrael. The Isra did not spread, so to speak. Did not disseminate. It didn't take root. It was not absorbed. It wasn't practiced by most of the nation. So if most are abiding, then it's considered an active takana. But if you don't have most cooperating, then it just doesn't work. And then you could just rescind it. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he says, look, they analyzed, they did some research. Yashu, Rabbi Senu, our Rabbi Senu, who are those? Says Rashi, yeah, Rabbi Danasi. So it wasn't just in a vacuum. They went and they researched. They, you know, did due diligence to this, to in fact verify whether it was established, whether it was practiced, whether it was being abided with. Yoshua, Rabbi Seinu, Batku, Al Shemen, regarding the Shemen ban, Shalei Pasha Disur, Rabbi Yisrael was not. Something that most people were abiding by, in which case they said, okay, it's time to undo it. V'samcho Rabbi Seinu, and they relied on the words of Al-Dibri Shimon Gamliel, the Rulers of Tzadik, Shoaimer, they would tell us, and goes from Gzera Latzibur. They would not establish a Gzera and Isser on the community, Elim Kin, unless they can sort of predict in their judgment that it's going to be applied, it's going to be practiced by most of the tzibur. Elm kein rei tzibur yichayl lamed ba, unless it's something which most can abide by. It has to be practical. So in this case, although they attempted to do so, they established the issur, but once they saw later on that it just didn't take root, so then they have the ability to just cancel it. Damar of Abba, Bar Abba, Mikra, where is this concept sourced in a pasuk? And unless most are abiding by it, it doesn't really take effect. So they made they committed themselves to bring, I think, the maser to the Beis Hamikdash. So you establish yourself with a curse, with ma'ara, you committed yourself to a curse if you don't keep it. You're not listening, you're stealing from me the entire nation. So these words, hagoy kulay, come to teach us. I'ika goy kulay, in. If the entire nation, or most of it, is involved and practicing it, fine, then it takes effect. Iloy, but otherwise, loy, it doesn't. So in terms of the, you know, chronological order of events regarding the Isser and eventual Heter of Shemen. So according to Rav, initially it was established by Daniel in a limited scope, only in town, and it was based on the concern of Chasnus. Tamid Hill of Hashem added another dimension, even on the road. But when they saw it wasn't really taking root, the later Bezdin of Rabbi Danose just came along and cancelled it. So today it's no longer us. According to Shmuel, it took on a bit of a different route. It was initiated by Tamid Hillel v'Shamay, based on that joint combined concern of Chasnus and the Tam coming from the Kli, and Rabbi Danasi, upon realizing that it was not being practiced, Anastasis says, look, he didn't really fully agree with the the Tam is really only a Pgam, it's not enhancing, it's, if anything, it's spoiling the oil. So basically, putting it all together, Chasnus, he says, wasn't either. He didn't go with that either, because I guess it's just oil, it's not considered something so substantial, like bread or like their cooked food, in which case he decided to undo it, considering that it was not really accepted in a widespread manner. Okay, Gufa, let's go back and review that line that we had before. Amar Bali. So Bali declared like this. Amar Bali, Amar Avimi, Nato. Avimi Nato was his name. He quotes Rav, Mishmei de Rav. That in fact, the Isser on their breads, on their oils, Bitan, Shamnon, Yenon, Nisen, Kulon, all these were Mishmoina, Asor, Davarhein, established as one of those 18 gzeres established by the students of Hillel v'Shammai. So breads, we understand. Oils, yeah. Wine. What is Bnei Sein? Bnei Sein, my the daughters. What does that mean? My Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak Gozral Bnei Sein Nidois Mari Susan Chachamim. In order to keep us away from their daughters, they applied a status of a nida to even the little younger daughters of the Goyim, even before they can experience the nida experience, before they're even technically able to experience dam, they turned them to meyais nida, Mary Susan, from their cradle. Ugniva mishmed rabama. Gniva had a different pshat, the name of Rav. He says like this: Kulan mishum avodes chacham gozer behem. In reality, everything, the oils, the breads, everything was based on a concern that it could lead to getting involved in their lifestyle and their belief system connecting to the Avodah Zarah. How's that? The Chiyasa Rav Acha Bar Ada Omar Bitzchak, he explained. It was sort of a chain concern, a chain reaction. Gazral Pita and Mishum Shamna. The Isser was initially established on their breads for concern that if you have their bread, you're going to have it with their oil. Apparently bread and oil came together, like peanut butter and, bread and peanut butter. And then that will lead to the next... Oh, one second, let's take a short stop. What do you mean? Bread for concern of oil? Which means that oil is a greater concern than bread? My ulmei, the shemen, what's the advantage? What's the greater concern by oil over bread? Mipas, that you're saying bread is only on account of oil. Ella, rather, the correct approach is like this. It was a continuous sort of chain concern. Al piton v'shamna mishum yena. Yeah, bread and oil go together. They were banned, lest it lead you to partaking in their wines. Because eating with them might lead to drinking with them. What's wrong with drinking with them? Now, we're not speaking about actual yain nesach that was used for Avodah Zarah. We're speaking about stam yainam, like we had yesterday in the Mishnah, things which are just belonging to goyim. That was asur val yainan mishum b'nai sein, because if you partake in their wines and engage in social drinking, etc., it might lead to a family connection. You might go and intermarry. Val b'nai sein mishum davar achar. But that's not the end of the story. B'nai sein was a concern that it might lead you to connect to their lifestyle, their belief system, and their Avodah Zarah. So one on account of the next, on account of the next, on account of the next, ultimately Avodah Zarah. And then there's another item as well, which was not yet mentioned, Valdavar Acher. They established an Isser on something else, which would be explained later, Mishum Davar Acher, because it can lead to even something else, which is even more. Okay, we'll see later. But first, let's go back to the first list. Bread and oil to the wine. The wine to the daughters. Daughters? Marrying a goita? That's asur min ha-Torah. You don't need a special takan, a special gzera for that. But he's saying, Dairaisi, the Torah is banned. The Torah disallows marrying a goita. Tichsilis is chatan bom. Don't marry into the goita. Well, Dairaisa, that pasuk is only zayin umais. It was an anticipation of entering Eretz Yisrael, warning us to keep away from those seven primary nations in Eretz Canaan, who were really infatuated with their idols. Right, so perhaps that's different. Aval shara avidik chavim lai, but perhaps there's no issue regarding other goyish nations. Vaso inu v'gazra afil d'shar avidik chavim. That's why they had to come along and prohibit, ban intermarriage with other goyim as well. As the Gemara, but according to Shimon Yochai, the ban of the pasuk applies to all nations equally. All those that can lead you astray and lead you to Avodah Zarah. Or Rav Shimon ben Yochai, according to him, the Amar who said, Ki Yasher is ben Chamacharai, he will lead your son astray. L'Rav is Kolam Asiris. That covers all nations who can do the same. So all nations are awesome. Michael Amemar said, then it's no longer necessary to establish a Gzeira if it's already Asa Menat Torah. Elo Dei Reis, rather Menat Torah. We have to make a distinction. Torah says, like, don't marry, in a formal family setting. Came the later chachamim and established an isra, even if it's an informal physical interaction, even without marriage. Well, even that aspect of interaction was already established prehistorically in the time of Bezdin of Shem. Shem, the son of Noach, right? Gazru, that was already established then. Dechsev, that was a famous story with Yehuda and Tamar. They thought she deviated, and she was of good stock. She was a daughter of Shem, who had to abide by their more elevated, lifestyle. They had a Yiddish lifestyle. The people, the Shvatim, and Shem and his descendants, right? So they had committed to a certain lifestyle, and then interacting out of the fold would be considered like interacting with a guy, and that's why they condemned her to death, to Sreifa, right? Right? Gazra, the Chsiv, Vayomer Yehuda, Hoitziyo v'tisor, burn her for doing that. Apparently, his nus with a guy was already banned in prehistoric times. The Gemara, Elder Raya, so you're right. Minatoyro, Ibkechavim. It's limited to a guy. Haba, Bas Yisrael interacts with a Bas Yisrael, similar to the story of Tamar. The Moshe Basrein, the concern is because she'll be drawn after the husband of a Tisor, Aval Yisrael. But if it's in the reverse, a Yid who interacts with a Gaisha woman, Haba, Alavedas, Aivedas Kechavim. Yisrael Abal was Kechavim Loi, that would not include it. Vasu Inu Gazra, and they came along later on and made that Asr as well. Afilu Yisrael Abal Alavedes Kechavim. Asked the Gemara, well, that's also Asr from way back, from the famous story of Zimri, right? Pinchas Yisrael Abal Alavedes Kechavim. Well, that's Asr from Alech Meshmir Sinai, all the way back from Sinai. Damamar, as we learned, Haboy La Ramat, one interacts physically with a Geisha woman, Kanoin Poigim with these zealots. Strike him down. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's because it was in public. It's only considered usher if it's in public. Like the story that we spoke about. Va'asu inu, come the later generations, and they made a gzera, gazra, a little bit sin, even in private. And that's what they added. Well, that's also usher from way back. Bitsina, interacting with a Geisha woman, even in private, Nami, that too was already established by the Chashmai Naim when they were being tormented by the Greeks, and many, many were drawn after the Greeks and interacted with them. So they sought to establish very clear boundaries, and they made a very strong, very strict Gzera. Beistina Shel Chashmai Naim Gazru, they made a Gzera. The Chiyasar of Dimi Omar, he said, Bezim Shel Chashmai Naim Gazru, they declared that Yisrael Haba Halavedes Kechavim, should a Yid interact physically with a guy, Chayiv Mishum Nashga, they strike him down, they give him Malkus, as though he committed 40 Surim in HaTorah. Kiyosu Rav and Amar, he said, Mishum Nashgas Gaz, a little bit of a different list, Rashi explains. So Rashi hears about 10-12 lines from the top. Najga, says Rashi, they considered it as though he did all kinds of Yisurim and HaTorah. That's how they treated it. They treated it severely. They threw the book at him. Najga means Gazra Aleim Mishum Nida Derabonon. So although a guy doesn't have tumah, like we said before, a guy is like a behemoth, there's no technical, it's not technically not tummy. But she was labeled as though she's a Nida. But Alpha Gav says Rash, oh, the Kechavim ain't dama matam in Atira. Even if a Geisha woman sees dam, it doesn't make her tummy. Shari ki behema, she has the status of a behema. Chum Gazra lacham, consider her like a nida. So interacting with a Geisha woman is that zo? He interacted with a nida. Umshum shivcha, as though she was a maid servant, which is another isra. Mishum Avedes Kechavim. So that's the nun is nida, shin is the shivcha, gimel is the goita, like Avedes Kechavim, as though he married a goy. Kilu meschatim derech ishus, and the aleph is ishus ish, as though he interacted with a married Jewish married woman. That's how severely they treated this experience. Umshemesh ish ish, Rashi explains. The bulas bal yeshlan livnei noyach. The chesiv bulas bal, because there is a concept of a married woman even by a guy. He bulas bal, right? She's married to her husband. And the concern is that if a Yisrael is accustomed to this type of interaction with a Geisha woman, it can lead, since he interacts with her even when she's a Nida, because by a Geita, there's no status of Nida, but it can lead to doing the same with a Jewish woman who's a Nida, in which case it's very severe, it's Kares. Furthermore, it can lead him to marry a real Shivcha, which triggers a new set of concerns. Vavar Mishum Lo Yekadosh, that's a special law for a Shivcha. And he might actually marry this woman, this Geisha woman. And then he's being Oyvar Anu Yisrael, he's Chatin. And he can come to interaction with a married woman, a Jewish married woman. If he does this with a guy, he might Vasil Mivel Eshish Yisrael. So for the above mentioned concerns, we treat this experience as though she's a Nida, a Shivcha, a Geita, and Eshish Yish. When the Rabin, he switches out Eshes Ish, he says it's not going to lead one to confuse her with a married woman, a Jewish married woman, rather, Mishum Nashgas. He says the Aleph leaves and the Zion comes in. She's like a Zoyna, like a woman who's has a status of a zayna. So if he's a kohen, he cannot marry a zayna. And the Bezen Chashmonai considered every year Avedas Chachamim as though she was a zayna. So the four items are Nida, Shifra, Avedas Chachamim, zayna, Shem kohen. Who if he's a kohen, Yesh Kamshim Lav the zayna. We treat it as though he violated the love of a zayna. V'loy Lav Mamish. Now Rashi, of course, clarifies that we're not actually accusing him of violating a Lav Dairaisa. Because, after all, she's not a Zionist, she's just a plain Geisha woman. Concern is that if you do this, he might do the same with a Jewish Zionist, which means to say a Jewish woman who interacted with somebody that she shouldn't have, she makes her a Zionist. And if he's a Kohen, he can't have anything to do with her. So clearly, this type of experience was banned from those times already. And says the Gemara, Ki Gazru, the first wide line, Ki Gazru, Beis Dinish Hashminoi, true. Although the Bezna Chashmonai did make Ixera, that's only physical interaction only. Bia Aval Yichud Loi. But regarding Bimis Yachid, which means to say spending time in private and seclusion, that was not Asra at the time. Aval Yichud Loi. Until later days, Vasu Inu, the Talmidim of Hillel v'Shami came along and they broadened the Isser Gazra Afilo Yichud, even Yichud is us. Well, that too predates Hillel v'Shama. Yichud Nami, Beis Din Shal David Gazra, from the time of David HaMelech. It was already Asr. The Amar Vida, Bais HaShoah, at that time, during that unfortunate episode, that interaction between Amnon and Tamar. So they saw how detrimental the Yichud, leaving people alone, can lead to terrible things. Gazral Yichud, they established Yichud, the Isra of Yichud. So again, it's old news. Answers the Gemara Amri, the answer was like this. Hasam Yichud Bas Yisrael. That was limited to be Mesiachet with a Jewish woman. Aval Yichud Eviz Kechavim. Lie, but by a guy it's not, because typically there's it's not so prevalent, not so common to have a Goyish woman around. So they didn't see a need to include that in the Isra. V'asu inu gazru, afilu ha-yichud eviz kechavim, came the later generation, Tamid Hillel v'Shamai, and made Isra Yichud even on that. Ask the Gemara, so you're telling me David HaMelech's Bezen was needed to make the Yichud on Bas Yisrael? Well, that's already Minat Torah. One Minat, Bimis Yachud, with a woman, Minat Torah. Yichud Bas Yisrael, Dai Raisi, Damar B'yechen, Mishum Shimon Yitzadah, Gremez, where do we find the source? L'Yichud Minat Torah, Minayin, show me a pasuk, show me a source. For the issue of Yichud, Shanama, the pasuk says, Ki Yisischa Achicha, so your brother will lead you astray, convince you to do Avodah Zarah. Interestingly, the pasuk relates to him as Ben Imecha, your brother is son of your mother. Now, why is that relevant? A brother with whom you share a mother. So let it be a brother with whom you share a father. Why is that relevant to the case? V'chi Ben Eim Meses, you think only a brother who's a son of your mother can lead you astray? Ben Av Eim Meses, not if he's a son of your father? I mean, why is that? Ella, rather, the pasuk here is hinting. Embedded in the pasuk, we have it's alluding to a totally new halach. Isur Yichud. Ella, rather, ben misachem. Mimo, the fact of the pasuk mentions son and mother together to teach us that, yeah, a son and a mother is no problem of Yichud. Likewise, a father and a daughter, a granddaughter, right? But otherwise, one may not go into seclusion with any other relative. Vein acher misyachet in kol arayis shabater, one may not be misyachet, going to seclusion with any other woman who's forbidden to him. So it's a pasuk that yichud with the Bas Yisrael is asur. Why was it necessary for David HaMelech to make a new isur? Answers the Gemara, yeah, you're right, there are different levels of yichud. Yichud the dayrais and yichud that we find in the pasuk deishas ish, that's with respect to a married woman or, you know, close relative. Va'asa David v'gaza afilu yichud pnuya, came David HaMelech due to that unfortunate episode and said, look, even going into Yichud with a single unmarried non-relative is a problem. But Va'asu Talmidei Be'Shama Be'Hilal, came the later generations and they said, look, not only Yichud with a Jewish woman, Gazer, they established an Israel, Afilu Yichud with a Goita, Davez Kechavim. So that sums up the whole chronological sequence of events regarding interacting with a goita in all different ways, or yichud with all its different manifestations. Now, one more thing that they banned was Dover Acher, something else, on account of another concern. What exactly was that? My Dover Al Dover Acher, Dover Acher. Amr Rachman Yitzchak Gazru. They made an Isra, Al Tinaik Oed Kilchavim, Shitame Beziva. So just like we spoke about a goyish, a baby girl is considered tamei. Likewise, a tinek, a young goyish boy is considered tamei as though he's a zav. He experienced that ziva experience, even though he hadn't. They consider him as such, in order to keep away from him. Shalei a tinek Yisrael Rogel Eslav Mishkav Zachor, for concern that a Jewish boy shouldn't be hanging around with him and might be led by the goy to physical, inappropriate physical interaction with him. Dom Rab Zera, as Rab Zera tells us, Tzar Gadol Hayli. You know, I tried many times, I asked over and over again. It took great effort. Eitzor Rab Asi, with respect to Rab Asi, I asked him over and over, and he didn't have a ready answer. What is the minimum age to consider the Goyisha boy as his of? So he went further up the chain of command. Rav Asi, Eitzor Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan asked Eitzor Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai asked Eitzor Rabbi Nachman ben Amram. Rabbi Nachman ben Amram, Eitzor Rabbi. What's the minimum age? Tinoig Ovid Gilchavim. So this Goyisha boy, may Masai Metame Beziva. Okay, he's treated like a Zav. At what age? V'amar Li Ben Yoyma, he says, as soon as he's born, there's no limit. Right off the bat, he's Tame. But continues Rabbi Zeir, and he says, actually, when I came to Reb Chiya and I asked him the same question, Amar Li, he says, no. He needs to be at least 9 years old. For then he is deemed to have the ability to engage in this type of activity. Right? So halachically speaking, at that point, he's considered able. So only from that point forward does he have this status. Amar Li Ben Teshanim Yom Echad, 9 years and a day, basically past 9 years old. Ukshabasi Vitsesi Dvarim Lifnei Rebbe, says Reb Zera, furthermore, when I went back and I presented Reb Chiya's 9 year old formula back to Rebbe, who was the one who said 1 day old, he agreed. Amar Li, says, you know what? You have a point. Hanach Dvarai Vechois Divir Reb Chiya, adopt Reb Chiya's opinion over mine. Damar who says, Tinoik Oyd Gechavim, Emasa Metam Beziva. At what point does he get Tami? Ben Teshanim Echad, only at the 9 year old mark. And the reason is, Hoyle Beroy Labia, since halachically is considered Roy Labia, able to interact this way, Metam Enam Beziva, he gets that status of Ziva. Amar Ravina says, Ravina, okay, so by extension, let's shift over to the young Geisha daughter. Her status of Tuma doesn't initiate when she's born, only when she turns 3 years old, in which case she's halachically deemed able to interact. Amar Ravina Hilchach, therefore, Hati Noikis Abed Kachav, this Goisha Jewish girl, Bas Gimel Shanim Echad, only once she hits 3 years old, Hoyel V'ru'i L'Bia, she says, Roy for Bia, Metaman Amma Beziva, she gets the Tumah in order to keep us away. So unlike the other opinion, right, that it was Mary Susan, at birth. No, it only starts at the 3 year mark. So by a boy it's 9 years, by the daughter it's 3 years. Pshita, well, obviously, if it's a correlating Issa, then it's a corresponding Issa, then it correlates to the same numbers. Ma'odotema, perhaps I would think it's different. Hay yadal arguli. Perhaps by a daughter, a goyish daughter, it doesn't start so early, because a boy, once he hits 9 years old, he might entice the Jewish boy to accompany him. But a goyish daughter, merely at 3 years old, she's not able to do that. So perhaps she does not pose a concern at that early state in her life. Mashmon, the answer is no. No. We establish an Isser all across the board, which starts when they are deemed able to interact, each one in his respective time period, 9 years old for the boy, and 3 for the Goyisha daughter. Okay, let's do a quick recap. Shemen of the Goyim was considered Asur, whether it's because of chasnus per se, or combined with the kashrus concern of the kalim, which are usur. It was initiated either by Daniel in a limited form or by Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai, who, according to Rav, broadened the scope, and according to Shmuel, they were the ones who initiated it, which was eventually rescinded by Rav Yehuda Hanasi and his Bezdin upon seeing that it wasn't really being implemented. So, in fact, the sequence of the Xeris, the rationale, let's say, behind the Xeris, established by Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai, was Pitam v'Shamnam, because of Yenam, which can lead to Bnei Seyan, which can lead to Dabar Acher. The Gemara concluded Bnei Seyan here means even Isser Yichud with an Avedas Kechavim, which is Yichud ben Darabonon, as opposed to with a Bas Yisrael, Erva, which is Isser De Oiraisa, which is the Yichud Oiraisa. And we spoke about the Tumah applied to the Tinoik and Tinoikis of the Oivik Echavim. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.